Actually do have one from an online participant. Jacob asks, regarding Psalm 132's ultimate fulfillment, will the Ark of the Covenant be in Jesus' millennial temple? We see the Tree of Life, for example, in Revelation 22 in the millennium. So I imagine that the Ark of the Covenant from Revelation 11:19 may also come down from heaven. What do you think?
Revelation 11:19, I don't know. I just think of Jesus as the ultimate ark. So could there be furniture that is a memorial?
Sure. But,
you know, when we looked at Ezekiel.
Could be. I've never thought about it.
The Ezekiel blueprint, it doesn't mention an ark. It just mentions a throne in the actual temple.
But the Lord has so many memorials that it wouldn't be like against the spirit of the word of God, because there's a number of memorials because God remembers that. So that could be. Never thought about it, actually. Chris, what do you think? Just say yes. Okay, good.
plus, keep in mind, this thing isn't here. No. I mean, plus, keep in mind. Oh, sorry. Plus, keep in mind, we are told that Moses made the ark after a pattern he saw in heaven. And so, you know, the ark here on the earth is a pattern of one that exists in heaven, because that's what we're told, right?
Yeah.
Moses had a pattern. And so the real ark may be showing up, you know, in Revelation, not the old ark that Moses had and was stored by Jeremiah in the caverns of Zion or wherever it is. Yeah.
I know the Bible says that Jesus is the son of David, and it has in Matthew about Jesus being have the lineage of David, but none of Joseph's seed went into Mary to produce Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit came and made Mary pregnant. And so I was going to ask if Mary was of the lineage of David, because it should be.
For sure, yeah.
Mary was of the lineage of David?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Good point, though.
Couple questions. Do they need the ark to rebuild the temple?
No, because the temple existed in Jesus' day without it.
Ah,
good point.
Because they've never
Second
found
temple.
It since the Babylonian, yeah. the 586.
Okay.
So when Jesus worshipped in that temple and treated it as though it was there.
Right, okay. Yeah, no, that's a great answer.
Good point, Stephen.
Jeez, you should have asked it earlier. Okay, so this is such a precious passage to me. I mean, just this whole idea of the ark. I was wondering if you could comment a little bit more about the resting place idea. That's always been a hard thing for me to get my mind around and my heart around.
I think it's two things come to mind. Mm-hmm. There's not another place it's going. Like, it's not moving to Tel Aviv or France. This is the final. And the Lord's not striving. I got in the notes. I didn't mention it. Genesis 6:3, God's the Spirit striving. He's arguing with people. So here he's resting. He's in agreement. So I think it's people in agreement, and the city, it's never moving from that city, and there's no failure that makes it be driven away. I'd say the third thing. Well, that's the same thing as being in agreement.
So to bring it into the present day, like our songs and things like that, when we say, Lord, find a resting place, we're saying, find a place of agreement. Find a place where you're comfortable.
In agreement with us.
In agreement.
And, that's a lower level secondary application, but it's still a cool one.
Which is mostly how I've heard it. But this is really the.
This is
you're
the
really
ultimate one. Yeah. But I think it's good to go for that and just say, Lord, we want our city to be a place where your spirit is manifest in a historic way, where you're not fighting us. You're in agreement and you're manifesting. You're resting here a little bit. It's a baby resting place.
Right. No, just like for the end time fulfillment, like Isaiah 11:10 specifically mentions that the Gentiles will seek him in his resting place, will be glorious. So I think there's the glory element that's manifested, you know, which is the temple. You know, Isaiah 4 mentions that canopy above it and the smoke and the fire, but it's after the people are purged. So there's that, you know, there's no more conflict.
In the updated notes, I'll have the 3 or 4 verses where the resting place is Jerusalem, millennial Jerusalem. But you're still right. We can sing that and go for that.
Okay.
You know, it's like Augustine. I have in there somewhere. I forgot how I said it.
God doesn't find his resting place until this is a paraphrase. He finds it in you.
What?
Oh, St. Augustine, yeah. Our hearts.
Okay, say it again. Just one person. Go ahead.
Our hearts are restless until they find rest
Okay, that's it.
So
I was notes are somewhere.
I was wondering if you could comment. This is about the prophetic history, specifically Bob Jones's word about the procession on Blue Ridge, the singers, the musicians, and they were carrying the ark. If I remember the thing,
and Jesus was on this. Well, they're carrying the ark of covenant, but Jesus was sitting on it.
Okay, can you just say something about that?
I think it's his word pictures. To me, the message is the manifest presence of God with healing, and people are going to be celebrating. I don't think anybody will see Jesus. I don't think anybody will carry it. Like, I wouldn't encourage anybody to carry it. I don't think so. I think it's prophetic.
But it's marching by Harry Truman's farm to Arrowhead. So it has
to do with... I think
there could
be a parade someday because, you know, like William Booth, the Salvation Army in London, they had those parades down the street. People were healed and touched, and there really could be.
But I'm thinking more about the purposes for Jerusalem. Like, the Ark is going to Jerusalem. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't get real... To me, that means the presence of God is in our midst, and the Truman to Truman, and we are mobilizing people around the earth to stand for Jerusalem.
Right.
So that's how I would put it together. Benji, don't come out with some flags and some deal.
Okay, three observations and a question.
Okay, fire.
Okay, observation number one, it was in Israel's history, like the pinnacle of Israel's glory was when the ark went into Solomon's temple and the glory cloud came and fire came and celebration,
That's the pinnacle is the second... Chronicles 7, glory came down on them. That's the pinnacle. That's a good thing to say. I appreciate that.
So that's observation number one.
I was saying that because I got a note taker. I want to get that on note.
Okay. Observation number two is it talks about Romans, in Romans 11, verses 11 through 15, about the fullness of the Gentiles provoking Israel to jealousy in terms of wanting the ultimate Psalm 132 with our little baby Psalm 132 resting places.
Yeah, I like that. I think you're right.
And then observation number three is that we're down to, I looked up on a website somewhere, we're down to like 164 unreached, unengaged people groups. So my question is, it's a missions related question. How is Psalm 132 and Psalm 110 going to influence or shift the mission movement once that number officially reaches zero?
There are... Yes. That's exactly right. There, I mean, I'm trekking with her. She's studied missions for many years, but there are about, so she's got information. There's five different numbers, but a good ballpark number is 12 to 14,000 people groups in the earth. And a lot of groups say 14,000, some say more, some say less. I don't care. So there's only 200 nations, but 14,000 people groups. And they have five ways to distinguish that, and some of them debate about it. They're down to the last 200 or 100, whatever number. Of the 14,000 people groups, there's less than 200 that have not been adopted or engaged. Only two, but boots on the ground in those other 12,000, might be two believers only. It's not like the gospel has penetrated the nation. They just got a foot in there, but that's... Jesus said, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the nations, I think it's more than one guy got his foot there. But you got to get one guy with a foot before you get a company. So it's never happened where all 14,000 have got somebody with boots on the ground. And I mean, that's significant, but that's not the same thing as a revival spirit on a company of people and it's going through the nation. So we still got some time for that, but that's a great insight, though. Good word. Well, I want this guy to say what he said so Misty types it.
Oh, I was just referring to the 20 years that the Ark was in Kiriath Jearim on page 7. That's actually more like 85 or 90 years, because the events in Kiriath Jearim, the reason the ark was in Kiriath Jearim is when Eli fell over backwards and died and the Philistines took the ark. That was at the beginning of Samuel's ministry. Then you have 40 years of Samuel's ministry. You have 40 years of Saul's reign. Yes. You have 7 years of David in Hebron. And then however many years it took him to get to Jerusalem and think of the ark.
Yeah, he's right. So
it's more like 90 years.
Because 1 Samuel 7 says 20 years. What were they doing?
The 20 years and the people mourned for the presence of God. So they came to Samuel and Samuel spoke to them and they got rid of the Baals and they started following. And then Samuel led them, but the ark still stayed in Kiriath Jearim. It was there for all of Saul.
So
was,
for 80 or 90 years, and the priests
never went and got
didn't go get it. And it was just not down once. The ways, just in the wooded area over there.
Yep. Nobody went and got it. David and the generals of the military went and got the ark from Kiriath Jearim, according to 2 Chronicles. And 1 Chronicles 20.
And they brought it to Obed-Edom's house?
They brought it to Zion. They brought it to Mount Zion, and then Uzzah died. And so then they kicked it to Obed-Edom for 3 months. And Obed-Edom was so blessed that David saw it in Jerusalem and said, I bet that blessing is for the nation. And so he went and got it and brought it in.
I don't know if they made it to Zion or they were on their way.
They're on their way because...
I don't think they actually got in the city yet.
They didn't. Obed-Edom's house is right next to Asher and Trotter's property. So you can stand... No, I'm serious. So you can stand on Asher and Trotter's property, his little kibbutz outside of Jerusalem, look across the valley, and there's where Obed-Edom lived. And so they were on their way up the hill into Jerusalem when Uzzah caught the ark, died. David got mad, said, I ain't following a God like that, at least not now, because I don't know how. Gave it to Obed-Edom, and Obed-Edom had the best 3 months of his life. David studied how to bring it in.
So did you learn that in law school?
Yeah, there was a class.
No, he's school. A lawyer. Yeah. How on earth did you have time to study all that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Because you got that David Hart. That's how you did it. That's really accurate. That's awesome. That's helpful. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, he told me that. I go, I want to get that. That is right. It had to be Samuel and Saul. Like, what? Because that phrase that says
Saul.
20 years, it means they mourned for 20 years.
Right. Before they came to...
interpret that wrong. Yeah.
They mourned for 20 years before they came to Samuel and asked him for help.
Yeah, good word.
And then... They just forgot about the ark.
Well, my updated notes are going to be clean.
Right.
Law school he went to, because you went to the Pat Robertson one, the Regents?
Regent University, yeah.
There you go. Good word. Good word.
See, I told you I had a class.
No, there you go. That's good. Last one.
Okay, a couple of questions. One is, so when David first brought in the ark, Uzzah, he died. And then it was given to Obed-Edom's house. And so my question is, how do we steward the presence of God so it won't be a Uzzah? But why did God have favor Obed-Edom? So, yeah.
Why did God have favor Obed-Edom? I think Obed-Edom is an interesting fellow. I mean, he's a Philistine from the town of Gath. So, in other words, Gath was the place...
I mean, if your last name's got Edom in it, that's not great. Yeah.
That's not great. Good.
That means servant.
And so,
yeah, but it's Bozrah's and Edom, too. I might change it to Eden. Just go to the office and get that one letter changed.
But he was from the town that Goliath was born in, is what that means. And so here's a heathen, a Gentile, that follows, that saw what David did and liked the things that God was doing so much that he said, I'm going to join myself to you. And he moved right outside of Jerusalem on the hills of Jerusalem. So a man from the city of Goliath was living outside, and the presence of God went to his house for 3 months. I mean, I think it's...
Maybe that was to provoke Israel through this... Yeah. Gentile believer, and he said, I'm going to be softer with you because you don't know the Torah even, but I'm going to bless you.
I think that's a picture of that, because the Gentiles are going to provoke the Jews to jealousy, and in David's day, the Jews who stewarded the presence of God were burned by God and threw it off to the Gentiles' house, and the Gentiles were blessed, and so we as a church have the blessing of God on us, and the Jews are going to see that like they saw it in Obed-Edom's day and come to us for that presence because they say, hey, that's mine, and it belongs in Jerusalem. So I think it's an overall short short little three-month picture of the fullness of the Gentiles and what's going to happen at the end of the age.
And that's probably why the Lord was a little more gracious with him, because he didn't grow up in Israel. Hey, man, I want to go can I sign up for that school? Where'd you go?
And also, Obed-Edom was smart enough not to look in the ark, Jews did.
Had something to do with it.
Yeah. Chris.
Yeah, it says later that Obed-Edom is mentioned several times as a gatekeeper.
But some people say that that's a different
family. Different Obed-Edom, correct.
Yeah, they say it's a different family. I don't know if it is.
We don't know, but I like the idea that this guy had so much of the presence of God at his farm that when David took it, he sold the whole thing because it wasn't worth it anymore. And he said, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord than anything else. So he lived what David declared he wanted to do.
Dude, this is good. Go ahead, man. Just keep saying stuff. Okay. I don't know if you're poking him. Just maybe. Another button, man.
Okay. A few other questions.
Good stuff. This is awesome.
Yes. Two other questions. Why did God's Shekinah glory, rest in the mercy seat right above, you know, the cherubim? And I guess there's blood on that mercy seat. Why, out of all the furniture, why did God rest in that place?
My guess is Ezekiel 1, the cherubim are carrying the platform of the throne Jesus sits on. It's something to do with that. Good guess.
Last question. Tabernacle.
What did your law school teach you on that one?
Okay. Last question is, the Ark of the Covenant in the Moses' tabernacle, only one high priest could go in there, right, for a Day of Atonement. But the question is, when David brought it into the tent, it was an open, wide ark, right? And people could go in there without dying. Why?
I'm assuming the glory of God was not resting on it like it did on Solomon's temple. I think that there was not the Shekinah hovering over it in that tent.
Either that, or it's just like in the glassy sea in Exodus, to where the Moses and the 70 elders and the son Aaron and his sons went up and had dinner with God. They saw him, they walked on the glassy sea, and they had dinner with God. And the Bible specifically says God stayed his hand. He did not slay them. So perhaps for this situation, he did the same thing.
But there is no actual evidence, because the Shekinah came when Solomon dedicated the temple. That's when it came and stayed. Before that, when David was bringing the tent up, it's not like the glory was on it when they were walking in town. And so it could appear here and there, because when they took the ark to battle, they didn't interrupt the Shekinah. And I don't think they were like, the Shekinah was hovering over it. I don't think. Well, we don't know. Nobody knows. There's nothing in the Bible.
We'll have to find out at the parade.
Yeah, at the parade.
All right, thank you, panel. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.